Good morning, everybody. Won't you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4? I'm going to read verse 12 together. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example. Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And we've read a couple of times from the NIV as well that don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And those of you who've been in this church or been in the services for a while have known that we are doing at the moment a series on a people on the move. And we're trying to encourage us as a people, because we feel that in the stage in which we are as a church, that we are a people on the move, that we're getting up. It's almost like the foundations have been laid. There's a solid base, and now we're getting up to go and do some stuff that God's got in store for us in this city, in this region, and in the nations. And as Avril has already mentioned this morning, Craig and Benson this morning, together with team, are in Mozambique. And Craig has been spending time with church leaders, training them. And Benson has been spending time with a particular church congregation, training them in HIV/AIDS, but also bringing the gospel into that situation. And so already we find ourselves that we are people on the move. And how do we be prepared in every way to lay hold of that with all our might? So that's what we're speaking about, being a people on the move this morning. And I have been speaking to you from this verse, 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, and about set an example, because this is how we get on the move. We set an example as young people, as older people. We set an example. We get hold of some stuff so that we can live it and start to be on the move with Jesus, with His Holy Spirit, because He's got amazing things for us. And so a couple of weeks ago, we looked at set an example in speech. And then we set an example in conduct was the week, a couple of weeks after that. And then last time I preached, we spoke about set an example in love. And Avril followed that up with a brilliant sermon to us on racism. How do we love in the South African context? How do we love one another? Well, we've got to get over racism. We've got to get that stuff behind us. And we've got to love one another. And today I want to speak to you about set an example in faith. So that's the next one. Set an example in faith. So let's just ask for God's help as we do that. Father, thank you so much that you're present here. Thank you, Lord, that you're the author of faith, that you're the object of faith. Thank you that you are with us, that you're for us. Pray this morning that each heart would be open, Lord, that seeds would be sown that would produce a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. I pray, Lord Jesus, many of us would be free, Lord God. Many of us would be moved on in you. Many of us would become more like you because of the words that you speak through me this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's your word that is powerful. And we look to you this morning just to root that word in our hearts and let it bring transformation and life in Jesus' name. Amen. So perhaps the first question we need to ask ourselves is, what is faith? What is faith? Because I think there are lots of different conceptions about what faith is. And I would suggest to you that faith, first of all, is faith in someone. If you read Hebrews 11, verse 1, it's the most famous, probably the most famous definition of what faith is. And now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. But often you can be left, if you just read that verse in isolation, you can be left with this sort of thing, well, it's something I've got to work up in myself. I've got to, you know, get faith in what I'm not confident is going to come. You know, I've got to get confidence. How do I get confidence? But actually that verse makes sense when you start to read it in the context of everything that comes after that. Where he speaks about the faith, that by faith we believe that the world was created by God. By faith, and then he starts to mention the heroes of faith. By faith, Abraham got up from where he was and went to this promised land. By faith, and again, you start to see the faith that these people had was faith in someone. It was faith in God. Someone was encountering them and calling them to do something. And so faith was following someone. I love the verse 11, which says, by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. See, Sarah's faith wasn't just in, oh, my body can produce this thing, or I'm going to work up some sort of faith. No. Her faith was in someone who promised. She considered him faithful who gave her the promise. And so faith is has an object in someone, and that object is God. Faith is not just belief in self or some magic formula that makes things happen that normally wouldn't happen. It is personal in its content. We don't just believe magic. You know, if you believe in magic, you believe that if you do certain actions, or you say certain things, or you put certain muti together, then something will happen. That's magic. Now, we don't believe in magic. We're not trying to do a magic incantation. If I believe, or if I say, if I confess positively this many times, it'll happen. No, that's not biblical. That's not what we're after. We're after someone. Someone has said something, or someone has presented himself. We've encountered someone, and that's God. So we believe in him, because he who promised is faithful. So the first thing we've got to say about faith is that faith has as its object someone, and that someone is God. Are you with me in that? Okay. Secondly, I would like to say that faith is trust in the promises made by that someone. So, if we read in Isaiah chapter 7, there's an incident where Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, are marching on Jerusalem. And the people of Judah are quaking in their boots because these two big armies are coming to destroy Jerusalem and Judah, the nation of Judah. And God says to Isaiah, go down and speak to the king of Judah, Ahaz, and tell him not to be afraid. God himself will deal with these two. And we read in verse 9, and God has said, at the end of the day, he says, it shall not stand, it will not come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years, Ephraim, which is Israel, will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. And then he says, if you do not stand firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. If you do not stand firm in faith, you will not stand at all. That's what Isaiah's word are to King Ahaz. And you see, Ahaz, in that situation, really with two huge powerful armies coming, bearing down on him, could really have four responses. The first response is not to have faith at all, which is really what happened. So prior to Isaiah coming to the king, they were quaking in their boots. They were absolutely terrified. Two very powerful nations marching on them. They didn't have the army to match it, and actually they're just quaking in their boots. They don't know what to do. As the scripture says, The heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Have you ever experienced that? Ever been in a situation where you're just so terrified, you don't know what to do? Well, that's how these guys felt. They were surely going to die. They were surely going to be overwhelmed. They're surely going to be absolutely destroyed. So that's the one response. We just don't have faith. And often we can have in this situation. We can face a situation in our lives where we just don't have faith. We don't know what to do. It's just overwhelming. It's too much for us. I know in my business, I've experienced that many times where it just looks like absolute disaster. I can't escape this. Disaster is coming upon me. And yet the word of the Lord can come to us in that time. So that's the one response that he could have had, which he did have, was not to believe at all. The other response is to have faith in our own ability. Ahaz could have said, well, I've got some crack troops. Jerusalem is a very powerful city. It's a stronghold, and it's got its own water source inside the walls. And we can stick this out. We can be much stronger than them. We'll defeat them. So he could have faith in his own self or his own army or own resources. But he knew that wasn't the case in this situation. The third response he could have had is saying, well, you know, I know my army's not up to it. But, you know, we are the people of God after all. And God said that if we have faith in him, he'll back us. So I'm just going to have faith, and surely God will kind of rescue me, but at the end of the day, that's just faith in faith alone. It's a bit like the people of Israel, you know, when they came to the edge of the promised land, and you remember the story where God said, "Go into the promised land, defeat the peoples there, destroy everything," and the people said, "No. Those people are too big. They're too strong. They're like giants. We can't face them." And so then God said, "Okay, you won't go in. Well, this whole generation will not enter the land. Only the next generation." And at that point, when they heard that, they said, "Okay, don't. God, hold on. We'll grab our swords and shields," and off they marched into the land. And of course, they were defeated, absolutely destroyed. So that wasn't faith. That was presumption. At that point, that's presumption. You're not believing in God. You're not believing on what God said. So the final response, really, that Ahaz could have had was to have faith in God. And that faith comes when God says something. So there they are, trembling in their boots, absolutely terrified. And then Isaiah comes and he says, "This is the word of the Lord. God says to you that these guys are not going to destroy you. They're not going to have power over you. I'm going to save you, and you need to stand. Stand in that faith." So faith is not just in my own self-belief. Faith is not just believing in my own strength. Faith is not just being terrified. Faith is believing someone who said something. And that someone is God. Do you see the difference? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So thirdly, I would say about faith, faith does not need to be worked up. When you see God, you can't help but having faith. There's an amazing book later on in the Old Testament called the Book of Habakkuk. And have you ever read Habakkuk, any of you? Ever read Habakkuk? It's the strangest little book, because there's this prophet who doesn't really prophesy anything. He just complains. That's all he does. He complains to God. He spends two chapters complaining to God about what God's doing. And then in chapter 3, there's this dramatic transition, dramatic transformation. And the transformation comes when Habakkuk sees God. And then you have that famous prayer, "Oh Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O God. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." And the situation hasn't changed. The circumstances in which Habakkuk finds himself with the Babylonians coming to ransack Judah and all of that, that hasn't changed, and it's still going to happen. But his perspective changes. And his perspective changes because he sees God. For the first time, his eyes are opened. And then right at the end, he's saying, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there be no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and there are no cattle in the stall, yet will I praise the Lord." Why? Because he's seen God. He's seen God. And when you see God in a situation, maybe you're facing a desperate situation in your life, and then you see God in it, though the situation often doesn't change immediately, or may not change at all, yet you operate with the eyes of faith because you've seen God in that circumstance. And really, folks, that's what God is after. That's where God wants us to be, to encounter God, to hear from Him, to encounter Him, to see Him in a circumstance in which we find ourselves. You know, for years and years and years, during apartheid, the end of apartheid, in my student years, we cried out to God, "God, won't you end this thing?" The circumstances didn't change. For years, they didn't change. It was so difficult. We knew that this was an oppressive thing upon our nation. It was preventing people from seeing the grace of God, from encountering the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. That's what it was. It was a demonic thing. And yet, we persevered and we could start to see in the eyes of faith through prayer because we laid hold of God in prayer. And that's really what intercession does. It helps you to see from God's perspective. That's why prayer is so helpful to us, so valuable to us as a community. It's because we start to see the circumstances around us, in our personal lives, in the nation, in the continent, in the world, from God's perspective. And that's really what it is. So that's my introduction. And now I'm going to go on to my main points. But really, just to summarize, faith is trust in someone who is faithful. Trust in someone who says some things into your situation. God says, you can't just have faith in a situation unless God said something. You need to hear from God. Then you can believe Him. Does that make sense? And trust in someone in what He is like. You know, there's the story of Elijah when he goes up onto he calls the prophets of Baal. Do you remember? He speaks to them and he says, "How long, Israel, will you vacillate between two gods? If Baal is God, serve him. If the Lord is God, serve him. And let's set up these altars and the prophets and Baal can call on God for fire to come down from heaven and burn it up, and I'll do that on this side." And the prophets of Baal work themselves up into a frenzy and they cut themselves with knives and their blood flows and all of that, and nothing happens. Nothing happens for the whole day. And then it's the time of the evening sacrifice, and Elijah says, "Okay, stop. Come, let's build this altar. Let's pour water on it." And then he prays. He says, "Oh Lord God, come and show yourself to these people." And fire comes from heaven and burns up the sacrifice and everything is burnt up. And it's really interesting. It's interesting to see there in that story that Elijah isn't necessarily, the text doesn't give you that God told him to go and do this thing. It doesn't say, but Elijah is so in tune with the character and the person of God. Clive was just telling me the story of Smith Wigglesworth the other day. We were chatting with Clive, and And there was a woman who had cancer, and Smith Wigglesworth punched this cancer. And she fell over and was in absolute pain, and it didn't go away. And he picked her up again, and he punched her again. And a third time, and the people were absolutely terrified. They're saying, yeah, you know, what are you doing? And he punched her again, and the cancer flew off, and she was completely healed. And there's a guy who is so, he's so got into the heart of God, so full of confidence in the character and the person and the presence of God that he is confident, this is going to happen, you know? So it's about closeness. It's about proximity. It's about engagement with God. That's what I'm saying. Faith comes when you see God, when you engage with God, when you're in His presence. And that's why, you know, we're speaking this evening about, this evening we're going to have an encounter time with God. And that's part of that. We encounter God, yes, in these services. We encounter God in our prayer meetings. We encounter God in the cell groups. But this evening we're going to have a special time of hearing from God, of listening, of having Him speak words of life over us. And I know in my own circumstance that has made a huge difference to me. So, okay, let's turn to Timothy really and ask the question. So, as we are a people on the move, joining God in His mission in the earth in our generation, what do we have to learn from Paul urging Timothy to set an example in faith? How was Timothy called to set an example in faith? And how are we called to set an example in faith? And I would suggest that there are three ways in which Paul was urging Timothy to set an example in faith. The first was his own personal walk with the Lord. The second was seeing the church come through to maturity. And the third was working for peace in the nation. So let's start with the first one. And I've got about 10 minutes left. So, the first is, Timothy had to believe the Father for his own life and his own growth. And it's interesting how Paul, you know, Paul is writing as an older man to a younger man who's set in charge of churches. And a lot of what Paul says to him is about himself, saying, come on, Timothy, stand up. I mean, even this verse, it's saying, let anyone look down on you because you are young. Because do you know what? Timothy felt young. He felt not up to the task. And many of us can feel like that. We can feel like that in our lives. And Paul is saying to him, you need to lay hold of the things for which God has laid hold of you. And the first thing is perhaps that he had to believe the Father for setting him free from the past, setting him free from his timidity, enabling him to be who he is. And for many of us sitting here, there's stuff that you need to believe God. That actually God can deal with my past. Many of us who's sitting here, who maybe have great shame in our lives. Maybe there's some secrets in your life you've never had dealt with. Maybe you've never even told anyone. There's some shameful things. Either that you've done to someone else, or that has been happened to you. I know that's happened in my life for years, just struggling with shame. Stuff that's happened to me, stuff that I've done. And it's been a mercy of God that I've been able to speak that out and tell others and be set free from those things. But part of you being full of faith might be that you need to have faith that God can deal with my past. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe I need faith to forgive others for what they've done to me. Maybe it's faith that I can overcome addictions. Maybe privately and secretly I have addictions in my life. Things that just hold me down and chain me. Maybe they're things that you long to be free of, and you cry out to God ongoingly. Well, actually, part of what God calling you to in this season, as we get ready to be a people on the move, is that we would be people free of those things. And that requires faith. That requires pressing into God and having Him speak His word over our lives. And maybe it's also issues of character. Maybe it's timidity like Timothy had. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's things you just don't have control over that seem to control you in your life. And I would suggest God is here in this season in amazing measure to set you free. He really is. He really is. He's here to set you free from your past. You can have faith that God can deal with your past. You know, there's also the belief and faith for the future. So not just that God can deal with your past, but that God can deal with your future. And many of things that Timothy came across in his life, you know, God spoke about, "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you will fight the good fight. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid hands on you." Prophecy is so important over our lives. I know my life has been shaped incredibly by prophecy, where God has come and spoken things over my life. You know, Raymond did an interesting thing at Cell Group just the other night, and he asked us, he said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say about God's ability to answer prayer in your life, or God's actual having answered prayer in your life? And there was a young guy in our midst who said, 3. And I said, 8. And I said, I probably said 8 because I'm older than you. And actually there have been promises that God's spoken over my life that have taken years to come to pass. You know, I'm in my 40s and this guy is almost in his 20s. And it's really often the faithfulness of God is seen over a long time. It's seen over many years. And do we have faith for the promises that God has spoken over us? And there are prophecies that God, and this evening, I would trust that that's what is going to happen. God's going to encounter us with His promises spoken over our lives this evening. Because those are the things that cause us to stand up and get on with the purposes of God in our life. The second thing, so there we've spoken about believing what God has said into our own life. Believing that He is going to bring us to growth and life personally. And we've pretty much run out of time. But I'm going to just maybe finish with this point then. And just say, Timothy also had to believe God for the promises over the church. Over the church that he was running. And likewise, so do we. We've got to believe God for what God's going to do in this generation. In this church. And I believe He's got amazing things in store for us. I was with Paul Simpson on Friday. And like Timothy, Paul has been in a phase of laying foundations in his church. And it's been very exciting. And he said quite an interesting thing. He said, it's one of the easiest things I've ever done in my life was start a church. And there you see the amazing grace of God and the favor of God. And I really believe God's going to be doing that with us. In many ways, we're in a different phase in this church. The foundation has been laid already. But now it's going out. And I believe we're going to see a growth in maturity, a growth in numbers, and a growth in churches. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I have the sense that He's going to do it. I know when Craig left that Sunday, he left to go to Johannesburg, God just dropped into my spirit, you need to be preaching as if you're preaching to 3,000. You need to be worshiping as if you're worshiping before 3,000. That God's going to grow us in as a church. And maybe that's a multiple congregation. I don't know. We've got to hear from Him. But I know He's going to cause us to grow. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I'm absolutely. And all of us, that means all of us standing up. All of us taking our place. All of us bearing weight. That's really what God's saying to us at this time. Because He's got a plan and a purpose for us. And there are amazing promises that God has spoken over us. As a church and as a movement, we were part of New Frontiers. I mean, there's some promises that God spoke over New Frontiers as a movement, which are our promises. Because we were part of that movement for so long. And one of those, I remember Paul Kane coming to a New Frontiers conference and speaking that, saying that you will change the expression of Christianity around the world. Wow, that's a massive, massive, massive word. And it's been true. It's true. There are so many, we've seen in the years since then, how much this message of grace has been changing the expression of Christianity around the world. The grace of God that we carry in our genes as a church. Also, there was that word that there were no well-worn paths. That where we're going, there are no well-worn paths. For us as a church, I remember when Simon Pettit died. And Simon Pettit, many of you may not know who Simon Pettit was, but he was the apostolic leader of New Frontiers in Southern Africa, under which this church came. And he was such a blessing to us. And Simon suddenly dropped dead one day on a side of a soccer field in New Zealand while he was running a church camp there. And it was a tragic blow to us. But I remember the word of God came to us at that time. And He said, a mighty forest tree has fallen. It's like a forest canopy tree has fallen over. But now there's this big space. And in the space, and what happens in a forest when a big tree falls, it clears a space and the sun can shine down to the forest floor. And what happens? Lots of growth. The little seedlings just sprout and they come up and they go for the light. And lots of them come in the place of one big forest tree. There are lots of trees. And God said to us, that's going to happen. That's going to happen in your time. And I believe this church is one of those things that's springing up in these days. And we're seeing it with PJ Smythe and others. And we've seen the words of Ride With Me and the Lion of Judah roaring on the top of the Drakensberg. Come. Let's get on with this work. And I'd like to just maybe leave you with the final point. And that is that Timothy had to believe God for a plan for the world. So he had to believe God for his own life. He had to believe God for the church. And he had to believe God for the plan for the world. And Paul urges him, first of all then, I urge you, supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness in every way. And right here, right now in South Africa, we need to believe God for those things. We need to have faith in God. And it's quite interesting, you know, when we used to run Frontier Year Project in Pietermaritzburg for the whole of New Frontiers churches in Southern Africa. And every year we'd have a group of young people of many colors from many nations coming to that Frontier Year Project training. And we would play a game with them. And that game was called the Power Game. And the game was that you were split up, you had to play this game, and those who did really well became part of a top group, and those who kind of did medium became part of a second group, and those who were the rest, were in the lower group. And then at some point in the game, you give the top group the ability to change the rules. And sure as anything, year on year on year, the top group, though they're all Christians, would change the rules to keep them in power. Without fail. without skipping a beat, every year they did. And friends, the truth is that is human nature. So what we're seeing in our government right now, with the particularly this law state secrets, it's just human nature. It's what you and I would do if we're there. We would. We change the rules so we stay in power. And it's what the American government has done. Everyone does it. So when we're looking at society, we mustn't look at it, oh no, these guys are terrible. No, this is to be expected. This is par for the course. Because our faith is not there. Our faith is not in our government. Our faith is in a government that will never fail. Isn't that true? It'll never fail. It's growing. In fact, it's growing to take over the whole world. That's what's happening. That's where our faith is. So though the world and its systems pass away and start to shake and start to no, we're not to be shaken by that. We're to be encouraged. Actually, we have a real destiny. We have a kingdom that will never fail. Hallelujah. We can believe in God. We can pray for our government. We can bless them. We can be part of our society. We can be part of changing this city, though it's bankrupt. We can get our hands dirty in there because we're bringing the government of God to bear. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? So, summarizing, faith for yourself. Has God spoken some things over your life? He can set you free from the past. He can give you a glorious future, and He wants to. At this time where He's mobilizing all His people, every one of you has a place. Every single one of you. There's no one here who we don't need. We desperately need every single one of your gifts. And maybe you're saying, well, I don't even know what my gifts are, and I'm hidden, and nobody notices me. No, there's going to become a time when you need to step forward. You need to take your place. And God will help you with that. He'll do that. He'll take you step by step. We're going to plant many churches from this church. Maybe we're going to plant many congregations throughout this city, throughout this region. I was praying with Paul the other day. He has a vision. He wants to see churches all through from the southern KZN right down into the former Transkei. He wants to see that. I was with the team down at my Africa Media Online team, who are all people from this church, down at Alice the other day, and we were having a cell group together last Wednesday. And Blessing, who of you know Blessing? So Blessing was leading the cell group, and Blessing said, you know, he opened the word, and he just said, you know, I have a passion to see God come in this place, Alice. You know, we haven't seen any church that preaches the gospel. You know, they're either after the ancestors or they are, you know, doing their own thing, but they don't preach the gospel of grace. And this is Blessing. And he said, can we just pray for Alice that God's word would come here, that God would establish His kingdom here? And we prayed. And at the end of the prayer, I just felt to say, guys, while we were praying, what did you feel? Was there anything that God felt, that any door that He's opening? And the guys had been complaining how, you know, even in the workplace, there was no one who was interested in the gospel. And then Magloire said, actually, there's a security guard. And every time you speak to him, his face just shines. He just wants to know more. And he's even invited us to go to his home. I said, there's the opening. Go through that door. Go and visit him. Go and pray for his family. Go and take every door that God opens. It's very simple, folks. Just take the doors that God opens. Don't worry about the doors that are shut. Let's just go for it. And so exciting. So you personally, for us as a church, we've got to believe these things. We've got to believe God is on the move, that He's going to cause us to do great things. Planting churches is not a difficult thing when God's involved. It's impossible when God's not involved. But actually, He is involved. He wants to do it. So we just got to partner with Him. And finally, we've got to believe Him for our nation, and we've got to believe Him for our continent. You know, for many, they look at Africa and say it's a basket case. No, no. God is not looking at it in that way. More people getting saved in Africa than just about any other continent in the world. As Michael Eaton says, you'll see generations down the line the transformation that will be wrought in society by millions of African Christians nailing their colors to the mast and taking hold of the land and the ground that is around them. You'll see it. So we've got to believe. So faith is faith in God. Faith in what He says. Hallelujah. Can you believe? Can you have faith? Is this encouraging to you? Let's stand. Let's pray together. Father, we just love all that You're doing. We thank You that we're in a time of being a people in motion, a people on the move. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the solid, good foundation that has been laid in this church. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the launch pad that it gives us. I thank You, Lord Jesus, for every person here this morning. I thank You, Lord, that it's not by mistake that anyone has been here this morning and heard this word. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that there are people that You're putting Your hand on, that you're placing Your hand on, You're saying, I want You. I want You. I've got things for You to do. I've got a place for You in My kingdom. I've got works. I want to set You free of that thing so that You can get on with the stuff that I've got for You. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're doing that this morning. And I just feel even this morning that there might be people here who've never encountered God themselves. Maybe you've never even been born again. Or you've never encountered the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, giving you gifts, empowering you for works of service. And if that's you, I just want you to put up your hand while everyone's eyes are closed and not looking around. Just put up your hand because I want to pray for you. Say, anyone, thank you. That's wonderful. Father, I just want to pray in Jesus' name for those who put up their hand, Lord, even those who haven't had the courage to put up their hand, but You've got Your hand upon them. And I pray in Jesus' name that You would so empower them by Your Spirit, You would so bring them through to salvation and knowing the wonderful truth of Your gospel. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for us as a congregation, as a people, that we really would be a people on the move. I pray, Lord Jesus, You would give us plans and strategies for times and places. I pray You'd give us the fine detail of where to put our foot, that we could take the land that You might cause us to put our feet in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord Jesus, for each one of us, Lord God, that You would just confirm our place, that we would know we're called. We know that our giftings are valuable, are going to be used to the max in Jesus' name. So bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.